fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's begin down under on the Gold Coast of Australia, where athletes, officials, and spectators are gathering ahead of next week's Commonwealth Games. The International Sports Festival will be held from April 4th to April 15th. More than 6,500 athletes from about 70 countries, including 18 African nations, are expected to participate in the Games. The main venue for Gold Coast 2018 is Carrara Stadium in Queensland, which will host the opening and closing ceremonies, as well as the athletics competition. Athletics is what Commonwealth Games officials describe as one of the 10 core sports at Gold Coast 2018. The nine others are badminton, boxing, field hockey, lawn bowls, netball, rugby sevens, squash, swimming, and weightlifting. In addition to those sports, there will be competition in basketball, beach volleyball, cycling, gymnastics, shooting, table tennis, triathlon, and wrestling. During Monday's show, reporter Megumi Davis Rakawinj filed a spicy report from Kampala, telling us how Uganda is sending 69 athletes to the Commonwealth Games. On this Tuesday, we travel to Yaounde, where reporter Moki Edwin Kinzika has details on Cameroon's Commonwealth Games team.
Seven athletes and seven coaches sing Cameroon's national anthem at the country's Ministry of Sports and Physical Education shortly before departure for Warwick, before traveling to Gold Coast, Australia for this year's Commonwealth Games. 12 will be competing in male basketball, a man and a woman in badminton, 5 men and 3 women in boxing, 3 men and 2 women in weightlifting. Basketball player Mbala Menzana says they are very optimistic they will make Cameroon proud by winning at least a medal.
We're not a weak team, so there's no pressure. We just have focus, not pressure, just focus, because we know we're going to do great. I mean, that's why we got great coaches, and that's why we put in the work we do. It's not so much as pressure as focus, so it's not pressure, it's more focus than pressure.
Cameroon counts much on its basketball team. During the 2017 Afro Basketball Championship, hosted by Dakar and Tunis, Cameroon was classified 5th. The team's coach, Dieudonné Ntep, says since then, they have gone to work to ameliorate their performance and are sure to bring back a medal from Australia.
The preparation has been very good because we started very early, so it's been a privilege for us to work with the guys. It's a good group. Though the job is being done, it's not easy for all for them. We've been working very hard. We just hope the results come through, you know. We're very optimistic. So one of them come from Tunisia, one of them from the United States, Mukete, and the guy from Tunisia is Felix Bokmis, one from Turkey, and one from Serbia.
Some of us are born destined for greatness. And the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games mascot, Borup, is as great as they come.
The 2018 Commonwealth mascot, Borup, was presented to the athletes to get them psychologically prepared for the games. Cameroon has also urged the athletes to promote equality, fairness, non-discrimination and inclusion in all that they do. Rosaline Afor, Cameroon Commonwealth official, says they will be using the games to be ambassadors of peace and speak out against violence, extremism, and terrorism many countries, including Cameroon, have been facing.
We are out to use sports as a tool for peace, to quell down violence. We are out to use sports following the United Nations declaration that has given physical and sports education its worth, we are out to use these values of the Commonwealth to tell people that through physical and sports education, you can get well without using medication.
Cameroon hopes to surpass the medal tally they achieved at Glasgow in 2014. They finished the games with 1 gold, 3 silver, and 3 bronze medals, placing them 17th on the final table. Cameroon's best performance in the Commonwealth Games was in 2002 at Manchester. They finished at the 7th position after harvesting 10 gold medals. They hope to improve their performances in Gold Coast, Australia from April 4 to 15, 2018. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Moki Edwin Kinzika in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Thanks, Moki, and good luck to all of Cameroon's athletes at next week's Commonwealth Games in Australia. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports birthday salute to Nnamdi Hollywood Moweta, our reigning prince of pugilistics. Nnamdi has been firing explosive and entertaining verbal jabs over our VOA airwaves for more than 30 years. And we'll hear from Nnamdi again later this week on some of the latest developments in professional boxing. Now, Nnamdi texted me that while today, Tuesday, is his birthday, his week-long birthday celebration actually kicked off 3 days ago in Hollywood, California. Nnamdi says on his birthday, he's grateful for good health, family, and all his hustle. And Nnamdi adds he'd like to give a special shout-out to all his family, friends, and boxing fans in Asaba, Jos, and Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check it out today, Tuesday, you'll see a photo of me and Nnamdi from a few years ago, 2004. I had a little bit more hair back in 2004. Nnamdi still has that youthful glow and shine in the photo, just like he does in 2018. Nnamdi, by the way, says he's looking forward to Saturday's Anthony Joshua Joseph Parker World Heavyweight Title unification fight in Cardiff, Wales. Nnamdi will give us his thoughts on the big bout later this week. The AJ man, Joshua, will be defending 3 of his world title belts, while Parker is putting his WBO crown on the line. Both prize fighters are unbeaten. Joshua has a perfect 20-0 record with 20 knockouts, and Parker has won all 24 of his professional fights with 18 knockouts. The two boxers promoted their bout at a news conference in London. Joshua says he'll be in tip-top shape in Cardiff on Saturday.
I think we're all blessed with the ability to work hard. There's no doubt about that. But one thing that I think separates myself is the fact that I mix intelligence with hard work. So not only am I going to be in peak physical condition, I'm making sure my mind's in the right place as well at all times. So I'm looking forward to embrace the challenge, not only from a physical standpoint, but the mental challenge that will come with this fight as well.
In Anthony Joshua's last fight, also at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff, he stopped Cameroon-born Carlos Takam in the 10th round. Joseph Parker's last fight was more than 6 months ago in Manchester, England, where he scored a majority decision victory over Huey Fury, the cousin of Tyson Fury. Parker says he studied Joshua and is ready to win.
Joshua, I've watched him for a long time. I know he's watched me. I'm coming up. I know his strengths. I know he knows mine. I know his weaknesses, and he thinks he knows my weaknesses. And I look forward to, I can't wait to have this fight happen March 31, to put on a great performance, hopefully catch him on the chin and knock him out.
Joseph Parker talks about strengths and weaknesses. Anthony Joshua was asked whether he'll focus on a particular Parker weakness.
The focus is to win and do whatever you can to win. It's like I could be waiting for Joseph to throw a lazy jab the whole fight, but it could be something that he's brushed up on in this training camp. So in terms of his strengths and weaknesses, I don't know what they're going to work on this camp. This is going to be his best fight. So let me work on what I'm good at, what I'm weak at, and I'll bring something different. But at the end of the day, at heavyweight boxing, you know, this isn't a three-round fight based on skills. This is a 12-round dogfight, and you got to have heart.
You got to have heart. That's world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua. He'll fight Joseph Parker on March 31st in a heavyweight title unification bout in Cardiff, Wales. And Joshua was speaking in London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Nigeria's top female golfer is teaching young girls the game and hoping more African women can participate in the sport. Reporter Chika Adua tells us more from Abuja, Nigeria.
Nigeria's premier female golfer, Uloma Mbuko, has won more than 200 trophies as a Class A international player. She's been described as the queen of golf, and now she's passing on the crown, training the next crop of female golfers in Nigeria.
One, two.
About 30 youngsters practice their swing on a golf course on a Saturday morning. The students are as young as 3 and as old as 16. For nearly a year, they've come out every Saturday to learn the rules of golf. They practice under the watchful eye of Uloma Mbuko. She's the lead instructor of this training program for beginners. She's been called Africa's Queen of Golf. After 17 years, she's risen to a level in sports that few women in Nigeria ever reach.
We all know Nigeria is more of a man's country. Ladies being treated as if we don't exist, but we do exist. The idea is women should end up in the kitchen.
But Mbuko ended up in sports. Even at a young age, she showed ambition, says Chinyere Mbuko, the golf star's younger sister.
She has always been a sports lady, yeah. She started with football, a little bit football, then handball. So when she said she was starting, you know, playing golf, I was like, serious.
Getting into golf wasn't easy. First of all, there's the cost. In Nigeria, golf is nearly exclusively reserved for rich men. Mbuko grew up in a working-class family.
We all know that golf is expensive, even though we try to shy away from it, but it is expensive. Now, to be a member of a golf club in Nigeria, definitely you're talking about nothing less than 500,000.
500,000 naira is about $1,600. And that's just the membership fee. A golfer has to pay to use the practice facilities at the club, pay for training, pay for a caddy, the golf clothes, and the equipment.
How many young ladies in Nigeria will be able to afford that?
Mbuko was lucky enough to find sponsors for her training. Another challenge she faced was the lack of a professional group for female golfers in Nigeria. So women who want to become professionals have to join associations outside the country. Mbuko solved that problem last year by creating the Ladies Professional Golfers Association of Nigeria. And now she is training a crop of Nigerian women to reach the same success that she has.
I'm concentrating on bringing so many ladies on board. I don't want to be there alone.
Every morning, Mbuko sets off for the golf course to meet her girls. When she arrives, they're already practicing. Mbuko instructs her students to stand in a swing barrel, a metallic circle that goes around the body. The golfer runs the club across it. It helps the golfer to learn the proper hip rotation to get a perfect swing. Obiageli Ayodele is working with it this morning.
Wow, it's fantastic. The few days that I took lesson from her, I found that my game changed automatically.
Ayodele, who is 29, practices 5 days a week. She's one of the few female players whose husband supports her athletic goals.
In our country, Nigeria, they find it difficult for the ladies to get into sport because of their husbands. I mean, the ones that are married. They don't want their wife to be out there. They don't want them to be in the midst of other men. They feel they will not properly take care of their home.
Mbuko wants all of her students to become pros.
Yes, we are ladies. Yes, we are African. But we have what it is. We have the talent. And I believe mentoring them, guiding them, and helping, pushing them up, they should be able to do far, far better than me.
But given her legacy of wins, that could be a challenge for her students. Chika Odua in Abuja, Nigeria, for VOA News.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Gwen Uden joins us now with some soccer and cricket news. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Well, today, Tuesday, is a busy day on the football calendar as teams in Africa and around the world play friendly matches in preparation for the World Cup in Russia. However, European clubs are taking a bird's-eye view of the international match calendar and calling for the insertion of mandatory days for players to rest up and recover. Andrea Agnelli, head of the European Club Association, talked to reporters in Rome, Italy.
It's paramount in addressing the competitions going forward, in preserving and respecting the main actors of the competitions, which is the players. The players, this means an overall reduction of games, introducing potentially mandatory rest periods throughout the season.
Match calendars are drawn up by FIFA, and the current calendar runs until 2024. Agnelli is demanding that clubs be consulted before the next calendar is drafted. News on the cricket field, a former senior Zimbabwe cricket official has received a 20-year ban for attempting to fix an international match last year. The ICC charged Rajan Nair for offering a Zimbabwean captain $30,000 to influence the result of the test series with visiting West Indies. The West Indies won the series 1-0 after the final match ended in a draw. And players for Cricket Australia have confessed to ball tampering in the third test with South Africa. Batsman Cameron Bancroft attempted to conceal changing the condition of the ball, but was caught by field television cameras. Cricket Australia team captain Steve Smith admitted that the pressure of being behind in the third test led to the decision to alter the ball and gain an advantage. On Tuesday, Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull asked for swift action against the ball tampering incident.
This cheating is a disgrace. Look, we all know that. It is a terrible disgrace. And the Cricket Australia is dealing with it. They have to investigate it, and they have to continue to act decisively and emphatically. And we have to get, where do we want to get to? I'll tell you what we want to get to. We want to get to the point where we can all say once again, not rhetorically, but heartfelt and with sincerity, that cricket is a fair game. Cricket is a game that is synonymous with a fair go and fair play. That's what has to happen.
Turnbull went on to speak out against the practice of sledging opponents, a tactic that has soured relations with South Africa in this series. South Africa's coach Otis Gibson also spoke on Tuesday and said the fallout has come as a bit of a surprise.
But I have been surprised at how big it has become. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you see such a deliberate act to, like you saw on TV, then people, you know, people will become very interested in it, and especially the way that it was planned. It seemed from what Susan said, it was planned by a few of them. Obviously, then that makes it a bigger topic for people to talk about.
The Australian cricket team arrived in Johannesburg Tuesday ahead of their fourth test. The competition will begin Friday. Right now, talks are being held in South Africa on how to deal with the cheating scandal. And Sunny, I'll have more for you as this story unfolds. Back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, an update now on the Miami Open tournament taking place in Florida. Sloane Stephens advanced to the quarterfinals on the women's side by beating number 3-ranked Garbiñe Muguruza in a matchup of 2017 Grand Slam champions. Stephens won by a score of 6-3 and 6-4. Last year, Sloane won her first major title at the U.S. Open in New York. For her part, Muguruza is a 2-time Grand Slam champion. She won the French Open in 2016, as well as Wimbledon in 2017. Another result from Miami, 3-time tournament champion Venus Williams also advanced. Venus came from behind for the second day in a row, and she beat defending champion Johanna Konta, final score from Miami, 5-7, 6-1, and 6-2. More golf news now. We heard about the African Queen of Golf earlier in the show. Coming up is one of the big golf tournaments here in the States, the Masters. And reports say the Masters will have its smallest field in at least 20 years with no more than 88 players. Cameron Smith of Australia was among four players added to the field from the top 50 in the world rankings that are published 1 week before the tournament gets going. Also getting through were Satoshi Kodaira of Japan, Dylan Fratelli of South Africa, and American Ches Reavy. That brings the Masters field to 87. If we take a look at the Masters record books, the 1998 Masters tournament had 88 players in the field, and there were only 86 in the field in 1997. The Masters golf tournament getting ready to tee off here in the USA. And that wraps up the March 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Linus Rimkus. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports. I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In an effort to limit resources that fuel the civil war in South Sudan, the United States Department of Commerce has imposed licensing requirements on 15 of the country's oil-linked entities whose revenues have contributed to the ongoing crisis in South Sudan. This means that all exports, re-exports, and transfers to these entities of any items originating in the United States will now require an export license. According to the World Bank, with oil revenue accounting for almost all of its exports and around 60% of its gross domestic product, South Sudan is the world's most oil-dependent country. Through this action, the United States hopes to increase pressure to end the country's five-year-old civil war and the resulting humanitarian crisis. In December 2013, less than 18 months after it declared its independence from Sudan, a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar spiraled into civil war. The continued fighting has cost the lives of tens of thousands of people and led to a devastated economy, human rights abuses, hunger, and malnutrition. One-third of the population has been displaced by the violence, nearly 2 million internally and more than 2 million who have fled to neighboring countries. The 15 entities include South Sudan's Ministries of Mining and Petroleum and state oil firm Nile Petroleum. Also included are Dar Petroleum Operating Company, oil distributor Nayakek & Sons, Greater Pioneer Operating Company, Juba Petrotech Technical Services, and Sud Petroleum Operating Company. The listed entities are a source of substantial revenue for the government of South Sudan, said State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert. Unfortunately, the South Sudanese government and corrupt official actors use this revenue to purchase weapons and fund irregular militias that undermine the peace, security, and stability of South Sudan, rather than support the welfare and current emergency food needs of the South Sudanese people. The government of South Sudan can do better, said Heather Nauert. As the largest donor of aid to South Sudan, the United States is proud to uphold humanitarian values and deliver vital assistance. The government of South Sudan must not squander that generosity and should take concrete steps to provide for the vast needs of the South Sudanese people.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a discussion on the challenges of political transitions in Africa. Controversy recently swelled in Kenya after opposition candidate Raila Odinga rejected Uhuru Kenyatta's election win. Sierra Leone holds a runoff vote for president on March 27th, after the two leading candidates failed to secure a 55% majority. Egyptians are headed to the polls next week with only two candidates in the race, and incumbent President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi appears to be the clear-cut favorite. The challenges of political transitions in Africa on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.